Please remain standing for the reading of today's sermon text. You'll find it in the Pew Bible, located in a seat back pocket in front of you. It's on page 840. You'll also find it in the back of your worship guide. So please remain standing for this. For these months leading up to Easter, we are looking at the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. The past few Sundays, we've seen Jesus encounter several hopeless cases. Today we see Jesus encounter yet another hopeless case. And we see again that Jesus came into the world to save hopeless cases. So please follow along as I read Mark chapter 5, beginning at the latter half of verse 24. So I'll be reading chapter 5, verses 24b through 34. This is the Word of God. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." You may be seated.
Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. We know it is your word. You've spoken to us. You've spoken throughout history, through the prophets, Father, and finally and ultimately, you've spoken to us through your Son, the living word. We ask that you would give us ears to hear today. We know, Holy Spirit, that you gave this word long ago. We know you still use this word today in our hearts. So please work to shed light on the word. Holy Spirit, shed light into our hearts. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see this Jesus, our Savior, that we would look to him. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us and lead us today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm sure you don't want to hear any more about it, but I have to say the coronavirus is upon us, right? It's a disease that almost all the headlines are about these days. It's a disease that's brought fear around the world. I mean, I've heard news recently about the airlines are going to take a hit for this. $63 to $113 billion losses because nobody's flying these days because of the coronavirus. And my daughter called me this week and told me she was in a grocery store in Waco and she can only buy 3 sticks of butter because they were having to proportion out who could get what because the stores are being bought out of things of people stockpiling food because of the coronavirus. If nothing else, it shows us that we fear disease. As human beings, we fear disease, what it can do to us, how it can ravage our bodies and destroy us. And that's precisely what we see happening to this woman we just read about. Isn't this an interesting providence of God that we're talking about a woman with a deadly disease today in this text? And that's what we read. We read that this woman has a disease. It's not a communicable disease like coronavirus or the flu, but she's got a disease. It's mentioned several times here, and we see it in verses 25 and 26. Notice there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years she had this disease. She'd suffer much under many physicians. She'd spent all that she had on getting help, and yet she was not better. As a matter of fact, she only grew worse. We read that this woman's disease was so bad that there was not a human cure. She was a hopeless case if there ever was one. It only grew worse. There was no human solution. No doctor could fix it. No medicine could take care of it. No amount of money could fix it. And before we begin to think, you know, it's just because of the time she lived. You know, if it's just primitive medical technology, if they'd have just known what we know today, she wouldn't have this disease. And I would say before we can go that far, we have to think a moment. Is that really true? Diseases happen today still? Have you known anybody that's gone to the doctor, or you yourself, and gone to the doctor to find out what's my problem, what's this disease, and then find out test after test after test are done, and they still don't know? They don't know why it's like this. You're sick, and they can't find the cure for the disease. Diseases still exist today. The coronavirus is a perfect example of that. Human medical technology cannot protect us from every disease. They keep mutating, they keep developing throughout time. For the last 2,000 years, it's been that way. In 2003, it was SARS. In 2009, it was H1N1. The list goes on and on. None of these human medical advancements stop disease. It's been like that for 2,000 years when this lady was around, all the way up to today, and it continues. We have problems, and this is what we need to get from this text, one thing. We have problems as human beings that no human being can fix, right? No human being can just fix disease and death. I mean, if we could have done that, somebody would have done it already. That's a picture of our condition here we're seeing with this woman as human beings throughout history. But at the same time, notice that we see that there is one who can fix human disease, and it's the Lord Jesus. And that's what's so amazing and powerful about these verses we read today. In verses 27 to 29, we see that this woman's 12-year disease and 12-year desire to solve this problem and fix it and cure it comes to a conclusion. It's because Jesus comes on the scene. Notice verse 27 to 29. Remember again, and get yourself in the moment of this event happening for this woman. Imagine 12 years, no help. It's getting worse. We read this. She heard the reports about Jesus, and so she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Just touched it. Picture that. Think about it. Just the fringe. He didn't even feel it. Just touched the fringe. And what happens? Well, verse 28, she figures, you know what? If I can just touch the fringe, I'll be made well. And what happens in 29? Immediately, the flow of blood dried up, and she felt it in her body that she had been healed of her disease. This woman heard the reports of Jesus. She thinks, you know what? I've heard that he can cure incurable diseases. And if I can just touch his garment, and people were thinking that because if you read in chapter 3, a few chapters before this, that's what all the many sick people were doing. They just thought, if I can just go touch him, this Jesus, I will be healed. And so she touches him, and it says she's healed of her disease. Now, is that amazing or what? Think about it. There is so much power emanating from Jesus Christ that a person with a disease can touch the fringe of his garment and be healed just by touching something that's touching him. This is a power that the writer, now, you know, Mark doesn't give us all the details of Jesus' life. This is not a biography. So there are a lot of things throughout that 24-hour day that we don't hear about. Right? He went and ate with the disciples and then went here and they hung out there for a couple hours. We don't hear everything about every, this is not a diary of Jesus' life. Mark is telling us this eyewitness account from Peter, the apostle who was there, of something very significant that happened. On this day, this woman touched his garment And just touching his garment, she is healed immediately. And the reason Mark records this, and Peter told Mark to record this, is because that event, which Peter I'm sure saw later, was showing something about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's doing in this world that was powerful that we need to see. And that is that Jesus Christ came bringing the kingdom of God into this world, and it was a kingdom that was going to destroy sin, disease, and death. This one came into the world who is going to bring this outflow of life and kill disease and kill death, ultimately, and bring this kingdom of God into the world and destroy this curse that had been in the world ever since Adam first sinned. And we read that disease is a curse. It's part of the curse. If you read through the Old Testament, you see that in Deuteronomy, right? Remember in Deuteronomy 28, when Moses had the people on two sides and he gave the blessings and the curses. And remember, he told them, okay, when you go into the land, obey the Lord, do what he tells you, and all these blessings will flow. You'll have the land will be full of milk and honey, and you'll get all the blessings of the covenant. But if you break the covenant, in Deuteronomy 28, it says this: if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, your God will be careful to do be careful to do all the commandments and statutes I command you to do today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. What are they? The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, and with fever, inflammation, and fiery heat, and with drought, and with blight, and with mildew. All the curses in our world, this is part of the curse on the world. Disease comes from the curse on the world that came from man's first sin. The disease is a result of sin. We've got the point here that we're being told is Jesus came to bring life to a dead world under the curse. And our biggest problem as human beings is not physical disease. Our biggest problem is sin. Sin creates the curse that brings disease and death into our world. The wages of sin is death, we're told. This is what happened when sin came into the world. Deadly disease came into the world. Coronavirus is in the world. Death is in the world because of sin. The Lord came in to break this pattern and curse of death. And that's why Jesus came into the world. He came to destroy sin and death. So this text is telling us and showing us he came to accomplish the very thing that human beings can't. And it's a perfect picture of it here, right? Humans can't help this woman. But Jesus Christ heals her immediately. And how does he heal her? Well, he does it ultimately by the cross. He heals her with his power now, but ultimately she dies again. But it was a picture of what the ultimate healing would be like. This Christ came into the world to bring ultimate healing. He would do it at the cross by dying for sins and raised again for our life. But here's the question I want you to consider this morning. All this is leading up to this. So Jesus has the power, surely, to heal disease, sin, sickness, death. How does this woman get the power? How do we get the power? Now, this woman was healed of her disease, surely. Jesus had all that we needed to heal it. How did she get this power? Well, we see here that it came through faith. That's what we want. We're told here that this power came to her through faith, and Jesus acknowledged it in verse 34, didn't he? He tells us how this happened. He has power, but it came to this woman because of what? Her faith. Look at verse 34. After all this happens, he finds out who did it. He finds out her whole story, and he says to this woman in verse 34, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Your faith has made you well. What does that mean? Is it faith that actually healed her? The faith was the thing that healed her? No, Jesus healed her. It was the power of Jesus that brought the healing. But how did this power of Jesus get to the woman? And the point is, it got to her by this avenue or this vehicle or this mechanism or this instrument, you could say, whatever word you want to use, of faith. It was faith in who he was, her trust in who he was, that got his power to her. And there are two parts of her faith that I want you to notice here in our text this morning that are very important for us today as Christians. One is she believed the reports. And the second is she touched him. So there are two things that this woman did that show parts of her faith and what saving faith does, what it means, and what it means for us as Christians. One is she believed the reports about him and she touched him. Notice first, she believed the reports about him. Look at 27 and 28. This woman lived around the area. She knew what Galilee was like. She knew a lot of people in the area. She knew the community. And we're told that she had heard the reports about Jesus. What reports were these? She'd heard reports that this Jesus, you know the Jesus from Nazareth, can't you just picture her at the house or out in the street talking to friends and all the words getting out, the buzzes around, just like coronavirus around, just like that news everybody talks about. What's everybody talking about around the water cooler in Nazareth or in Galilee at the time? Did you hear about this Jesus? He's from Nazareth up here in Galilee, and he's back in the area. He was down in Jerusalem. Now he's back here, and he's healing people like crazy. Do you remember that old man? Remember Bartimaeus used to sit on the side of the road? Remember that man who was blind, who lived down over by us? Remember the guy who couldn't walk, who was lame and was sitting over there the other day? He healed him. I mean, anybody who had diseases or sickness or they were lame or they were blind, the man, it's incredible. You've got to see this Jesus. He's healing people. And so this woman heard the reports, and what did she do? She believed them. And we hear her thinking and her reasoning in verse 28, right? Look at verse 28 again. This is her, we're told how her mind was working. For she said to herself, if I just touch even his garments, I'm going to be made well. That's faith in action, believing the reports. She hadn't been with him yet and touched him, but she knew, if I can get close enough and just get a hand on him, I'm going to be healed because he's got this power. And that's the way faith works. That's what it does, right? It receives reports about this Jesus, and it believes those reports. And then it becomes the instrument that connects us to him. Think of faith in this way. And you might have heard this analogy before, but I think it's a good one. Faith is like a cord, a power cord. If you have a lamp at home and it's got a cord coming out of it, and you go to turn on the lamp and it doesn't work, and you see the cord laying on the floor, what do you No. Oh, I need to plug it in, right? So you plug it in the wall, you turn it on. Did the cord produce the power? No. It connected the lamp to the power. The power is in that outlet in the wall. The cord is the vehicle that gets it from the wall into the lamp to light the bulb. And that's similar to what's happening here. The power is in Jesus Christ, but it's this woman believing who he is, trusting him and his power, and knowing he's got the power, reaching out to him, is how the power comes to her. She believes the reports and she acts. Now, how does that apply to us today? As Christians today, that's what we do. Think about it. You're today, we're all sitting in this room listening to a report about Jesus Christ. This man who lived 2,000 years ago, thousands of miles away, we're hearing a report about him and what he can do. And we hear in this room today, and we either believe the report or we don't believe the report. And the extent we believe the report is to the extent we will cling to this Jesus Christ and receive the benefits that Jesus Christ gives to believers, his people. This is what we do as Christians in the world. We walk by faith. By faith means I hear these reports, and that's why we feed ourselves on God's word and feed ourselves on the reports about Jesus Christ and who he is. And one of the reports we receive tells us that he forgives our sins. And we're told that he is the one who gives life to the dead. And then we're told this report is a picture to show us even, how does this work? This woman is unclean. This is why Mark gives us a picture again. It's similar to last week. Remember we saw last week about the unclean girl who's dead? Remember, she was dead, the 12-year-old girl, and Jesus went into the room. And remember, he touched her. She was dead, and that meant he would have been ceremonially unclean because anyone who touched a dead body was unclean, became unclean. And we saw that he took her uncleanness on himself, but he gave her life. And we see a similar thing happening today. In this event, a touch again, right? Jesus touched the unclean girl who is dead. This case, we see the unclean person touch him. But either way, the uncleanness is transferred to this Jesus, and in turn, he gives healing. He heals this woman of her disease. And it's a picture of Psalm 103, and the picture we have is that he heals our diseases. Psalm 103 says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, and redeems your life from the pit." And this is the report we hear about this Jesus. He forgives sins. He takes our sins away on himself at the cross and bears them. This Savior is a loving Savior who bore our sins in his body on the tree. And this picture of healing the woman is supposed to be a sign to us and a report to us that, you know what, this is the one who heals our diseases. Not just all of our flu bugs we get. This is the one who heals ultimately all disease and will eradicate it from our world when he makes all things new. He came to take away our sin. That's why Matthew's gospel, Matthew says this, to all who were oppressed by demons and had diseases, Jesus healed them to fulfill what was spoken in the word. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. That's what Jesus Christ did. And the reason you're here today is to hear this report and cling to him. Look to him for all of our needs and recognize, you know what, when I have desperate need as a believer, the source of power for all that I need to fight temptation and sin and the world and the devil comes from Jesus Christ, the power source. I need him. The cord needs to be plugged in. I need to touch him. And that leads to the second thing that we notice about this woman's faith. Not only did she believe the report, but she had to do something. She went and touched him. Notice what happens. This is the most kind of surprising point about it, this whole incident. Think about it a second. Verse 21, she hears the report. She comes up behind him, touches his garment, and is healed. And now think about this. There were a lot of people who touched him that day. But this woman is healed. There are a lot of people who bumped up against Jesus. We know that from verse 24 and verse 31. Remember what we're told at the beginning? Look at verse 24 again. There was a great crowd following him, and they thronged about him. What does that mean, thronged? They're pressed in on him. Have you ever been in a crowd like that? Have you ever been at a concert or something? I still remember vividly when I was a kid, my parents had this great idea to take us to Disneyland to see the 4th of July fireworks at Disneyland. And I remember we went in, it was very busy that day. We went in, saw the fireworks that night, and I realized my parents had this idea with 10 million other parents. And we got there and it was packed. And I remember vividly trying to leave, and we were so jammed in together. The whole crowd couldn't move. I mean, there's points where we stood there for like 5 minutes and you couldn't move. Good thing we weren't claustrophobic. But you know what crowds are like. That's what the crowd is like here. There are tons of people pressing in on him. Everybody was touching him. And then that's what dumbfounds the disciples, right? I mean, you got this crowd pressing in, and then suddenly Jesus stops and says, wait a second, who touched me? And you see the disciples' response in verse 30, 31. Jesus, what are you talking about? You see this crowd pressing around you. They're throwing you all over. There's tons of people all over the place. And you're asking, who touched me? Everybody touched you. What did he mean? It was a different kind of touch. It wasn't that kind of touch. It wasn't I'm just standing next to Jesus. It was a touch of faith. It was a touch that said, this Jesus is the one I need. I just got to touch his garment. I can just get a hand in. And Jesus knew it. He knew the power went out. And isn't that an amazing thing too? It goes out even without him saying any word at the beginning to this woman. He doesn't say, oh, woman, I see you're sick. Come over here. Let me heal you. She just touches him and it happens. The power goes out of him. And this is an act of faith, this touch, not like all the other people that were touching him. So think about yourself. Is this how you touch Jesus Christ? Is it an incidental touch? You kind of bump up against him? Or is it a, Lord Jesus, I need you? There are many people who come to a Christian church, many people who hear about Jesus Christ, and they hear about him, and they touch him, but it's an incidental contact, right? You may hear, come into this place this morning, and you hear about Jesus, and you walk away unfazed, unaffected. You come to the table even, maybe, and you incidentally contact Jesus. You touch him. Yeah, you touch the bread, you touch the cup, but it's incidental contact. It's not a touch of faith. It's not a touch driven by faith. It's not a touch that says, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Please help. I am in sin and I am struggling and I have no way out. Jesus, you know my heart. It's ugly, it's corrupt, it's diseased with sin. Lord Jesus, help. That's the kind of touch that faith does. That's what faith touch looks like. This woman had that, and that's how we're called to touch Jesus Christ as believers. So I'd say in a very practical way, for you as a Christian today, think about that in the struggles you face in life. Don't just have incidental contact with Jesus, but say, Jesus, this is, and how do you touch Jesus? Calling out to him in prayer. That woman had a physical Jesus to touch, right? So right now, for the Christian, there's not a physical touch. There's five senses we have, right? We don't have touch right now. He's at the right hand of the Father. But you can do it figuratively by calling on his name in prayer. Saying, Jesus, and see it as a touch. Sometimes I've got to do that. I was thinking about that this week when I was going through this text, pondering it. And there's times where I was struggling, and I pictured just touching Jesus, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, you have power. I don't. I am weak. I'm sinful. I need you. And that's what this woman did, and that's what we all do as Christians, right? We touch Jesus Christ by faith, and faith acts today in calling on his name, and not just calling on him as an exercise, not just calling on him because I go through the motions, but calling on him and really believing he has what I need for this moment, and talking to him in that way, calling on him, saying, this Jesus, Jesus, you are real. You are at the right hand of the Father interceding for me right now. And Lord Jesus, I just need to touch you. Help me. That's what we do as Christians. We call on his name and trust him in our most difficult times. I read an interesting letter this week from actually a pastor in Wuhan, China, one of the underground Christian pastors in China where the coronavirus broke out. In his letter, it was a fairly long letter, but one of the comments he made in the letter is this: Christ's peace is not to remove us from disaster and death, but rather to have peace in the midst of disaster and death, because Christ has already overcome these things. That's a man who's in Wuhan, China. That's a Christian who's at epicenter of all the things that we're fearing in America right now. And he's saying, you know, this is the Jesus that I'm reaching out to touch. The one who, I can't get out of Wuhan if I wanted to right now. But you know what I've come to see? I am holding on to the one who has overcome disease and death. So that doesn't mean I'm going to be rescued from every disease or sickness and I'll never have a runny nose. It's not prosperity gospel. But it says, I trust the one who came into the world and gave me reports of his power to make all things new, and he's going to make all things new, and he began now. And he's given me life in this world and power that he has to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil as I journey toward that new world. He is real, he exists, and I touch him. That's what this pastor was saying. That's what we all do. And I encourage you to do that today when you come to this table. You do have something you can touch as a Christian. Not Christ in his physical body. We do enact those senses when we come to the table each time, don't we? We touch the bread, which is his body. We touch the cup, which is his blood. And when we do that today, I encourage you, touch it with faith. Don't make incidental contact, like, oh, I'm just holding a cup, but the Savior who loves you and died for you is with you in this moment, and you are trusting him for everything you're going through right now, that he will make a way. He will give you strength to persevere to the end. That's the Jesus you hold on to when you hold the cup and the bread. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we look to you and know that you are our great Savior. And Lord, we ask that you would please strengthen us by these reports of who you are and what you've done. Lord, be glorified in us, we pray. And I ask, Lord, this week that you would help us, even in our weakness, to touch you, call on your name, know that all we need is found in you. We pray, Jesus, in your powerful name. Amen.